Radio Prague News.
A funeral ceremony has been held for the 16-year-old boy who died in a high school attack last week. A coalition is slowly taking shape in the Czech capital. And in an interview, the president has rated the government favorably. Family, friends, fellow students, town officials, and hundreds of others in Zhgar nad Sázavou paid their last respects to 16-year-old Petr Vejvoda on Monday, the student killed in a knife attack at his high school last week. The ceremony was held at 12 p.m., but the chamber was full already an hour earlier. During the ceremony, the town's mayor spoke, and priest Tomáš Holý later read a letter from Cardinal Dominik Duka. Some classmates in attendance, unable to cope emotionally, were helped by medics. Last Tuesday, Petr Vejvoda was fatally injured by a 26-year-old woman with a past record and a history of mental illness who had committed a similar attack before, and she followed students into the school's changing area. He died defending a fellow student. Last Friday, President Zeman and Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobota both visited the school and lit candles in his memory. ANO, the Social Democrats, and the three-party coalition of the Greens, Christian Democrats, and the mayors have agreed on key issues in negotiations on a possible coalition at Prague City Hall. Among ideas agreed, according to the Czech news agency, is the construction of a new D metro line, the lowering of the price of yearly transit passes by 900 crowns, zero tolerance of gambling, and the stricter protection of non-developed areas in the city. ANO finished first in Prague in the recent local elections, followed by Topo 9 and the three-party coalition. Others with representatives elected are the Social Democrats, the Civic Democrats, the Communists, and the Czech Pirate Party. Czech President Miloš Zeman rated the Czech government favorably in an interview on Sunday, telling commercial broadcaster TV Nova that Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka had been successful in keeping the coalition together, which he saw as a key role. He also said the current government had given people hope. At the same time, the president said he could envisage ANO leader and finance minister Andrej Babiš as prime minister as well. Commenting on the sharp words traded at times by Mr. Babiš and Mr. Sobotka, the president made clear he knew of no coalition where occasional clashes were uncommon. In other news, a blackout hit parts of the Czech capital a minute after midnight and some 100,000 homes were left without electricity. Affected were Prague 4 and parts of Prague 2 and 10. The blackout caused by a technical failure at a substation in Chodov also left the Tomajer Hospital in Krč briefly without power. In all, the blackout affected about a quarter of the city, according to the Czech news agency. I'm Jan Wellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's program, the Czech centre-left coalition has preserved a majority in the Senate after 18 of their candidates won seats in the upper house over the weekend. We have the roundup of the latest Czech sports news. And in one-on-one, we meet Tomáš Sendej, the founder of a charity store called Prague Thrift Store. The Czech centre-left coalition government has conserved a comfortable majority in the Senate after 18 of their candidates won seats in the upper chamber of parliament over the weekend. With 10 newly elected senators, the senior coalition Social Democrats were the most successful party at the polls. However, less than 17% of voters cast their ballots in the second round of the election, the lowest turnout on record. Jan Richter has the details.
Takže ještě jednou hezké odpoledne, dámy a pánové, z Pražského lidového domu.
Prime Minister and Social Democrat leader Bohuslav Sobotka appeared moderately jubilant as he faced reporters after the results of the second round of voting for the Czech Senate were announced on Saturday. His party won 10 seats in the 81-seat Senate, and with 33 senators, they remained the strongest group in the House. After scoring a major success in local elections a week ago, the coalition Christian Democrats came second, with 4 senators elected on the party ticket and another 3 on a joint ballot with the Green Party. The centrist ANO group of billionaire Andrej Babiš has won 4 seats in the Senate. The three coalition parties now have 47 out of 81 senators. that shows that voters back the ruling coalition in general and the Social Democrats in particular, according to Prime Minister Sobotka.
The government coalition won the elections. When we compare the gains of the coalition parties with those of the opposition, the voters' decision is unequivocal. I interpret the results as an expression of support for the government's policies, which we adopted 8 months ago when we created a new coalition cabinet.
However, a closer look reveals that the Social Democrats only defended 10 out of 19 seats in the Senate. That has led some commentators to know that the Christian Democrats were the real winners. After the party exited the lower house 4 years ago, it elected a new leadership and gained momentum, which some believe could make it the strongest group on the right. Deputy Prime Minister Pavel Bělobrádek is the party's chair.
I understand it as another step in what we could call a systematic and continuous rise in support for us. We've grown stronger with every election. The important thing is that this is a long-term gradual trend with no sudden jumps.
On the other hand, the elections brought a major setback for the opposition, both the communists and the right-of-center Civic Democrat and Topo 9 parties. Only two Civic Democrat senators were elected, while none of the six Topo 9 candidates were successful. However, the overall results are somehow relativized by the extremely low turnout. A mere 17% of voters cast their ballots in the second round of voting, which is the lowest number since the creation of the Czech Republic in 1993. Vít Hloušek is the head of the International Institute of Political Science at Brno's Masaryk University. He believes the low turnout indicates continued public dissatisfaction with politics.
Still, some anti-political mood is prevailing in the Czech society. I think that the atmosphere of distrust can explain the really low turnout in the Senate elections. On the other hand, those who are still willing to express some political opinion through the electoral channel, those are perhaps thinking that the governing coalition is not coping with the political issues that bad. So I think that it signalizes somehow relatively stable Czech political life in these days.
Vít Hloušek of the International Institute of Political Science at Brno's Masaryk University, ending that report by Jan Richter. But now Ian Willoughby has the roundup of the latest Czech sports news.
We begin today with football, and Milan Baroš won the Golden Boot at Euro 2004 and took a Champions League medal with Liverpool the following year. But it's so long since the striker's career began to fade that it's almost shocking to consider that he's still only 32 years old. Baroš's last stint abroad saw him find the net only twice in 13 games for Turkey's Antalyaspor last season. Now, however, the Czech national side's second-highest scorer is back for a third stint at Baník Ostrava, the club where his career began. In his first appearance since a serious knee injury, Baroš could have secured all 3 points for Ostrava when a decent chance fell to him in the 91st minute of a home game against Jihlava on Friday. However, the ball rebounded off a defender and the game, in which Baroš had come on in the 74th minute, ended nil-all.
I think it was a clear chance because their keeper was on the other side of the goal. Francis Nahr and one of their defenders were standing in front of the goal and I shot between them. If it had gone through, it would have gone in. I'm 100% prepared and I'm not worried about getting injured again. But my confidence could do with a boost. I just need to get stuck into challenges and to sprint without any mental block. That's what's important for me.
That draw still leaves Baník Ostrava in fourth place in the league. Viktoria Plzeň remained top after a 3-0 away win over Mladá Boleslav. And Sparta Prague are just 1 point behind the leaders after a 3-1 away defeat of Brno. Tennis, and the Czech men's number one Tomáš Berdych won the Stockholm Open on Sunday. Berdych lifted the 10th title of his career after a 5-7, 6-4, 6-4 win over last year's winner of the competition, Grigor Dimitrov of Bulgaria. That result further boosts the 29-year-old's chances of reaching next month's ATP World Tour Finals in London. Meanwhile, the leading Czech women's player, Petra Kvitová, is preparing for the WTA Finals in Singapore. The world number three will face Agnieszka Radwanska of Poland in her opening white group encounter on Thursday. The other two players in Kvitová's side of the draw are Maria Sharapova of Russia and Denmark's Caroline Wozniacki. Ice hockey and Tri Nets have cemented their hold at the top of the Czech Extraliga after a 5-2 win over Pardubice in the 14th round left them on 34 points. That's 6 points clear of second-placed Hradec Králové. Meanwhile, reigning champions Zlín are still bottom of the table, but at least managed a 4-3 win on penalties over Mladá Boleslav on Sunday. That's all the sport for today.
Thank you, Ian Willoughby, for that. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up next, a Hungarian-born businessman, Tomáš Szendej, is Dominik Jún's guest in this edition of One on One.
Hello and welcome to this week's One on One. My guest today is Tomáš Szendej, who is a Budapest-born management consultant who moved to the Czech Republic in 2005 and decided to found, along with his wife, Prague Thrift Store, which is a charity shop, which is quite a rare thing to see. It doesn't really exist that much here in this country, does it?
Well, yes, I think in the ex-communist countries, the charity stores are not as common as in Western European countries or in the US.
The obvious reason would be because under the communist system, it was all centralized, so there was no charity, right? It was all through the state.
Yes, indeed.
What year did you found this store then?
Before I moved to Czech Republic, we lived in the USA, and I worked there. My company sent me there, and there I met Barbara. My company moved me to the Czech Republic, and when we moved here, that's when we get married, and Barbara loved charity stores, and she loves thrift stores, particularly because she lived in the U.S. And when we moved here, we had so much surplus. Yeah, when you combine two households, we have pretty much two of everything. And she was trying to donate this back in 8 years ago, when we even rarely had any textile box on the streets. It was really a problem for people to donate their stuff. So when Barbara was trying to donate these items, she soon found out how difficult is it. She was calling charities because she wanted to donate the furniture. And, of course, no one spoke English. They slammed the phone on her. So some quite...
It was
quite,
that, like, you had even negative experiences wanting
negative.
To donate?
Yes, wow. Indeed.
Because it's funny, because I suppose a post-communist country might even be suspicious of the very idea of charity, right? Why would you want to be charitable? Why not make money for yourself, right? I mean, you know...
Indeed. I was thinking why there are so many secondhand stores in Prague and why so not too many charity stores in here.
So let's just explain that. It's not that there aren't any secondhand stores here, because there are tons of them. They're called Sekáče.
Yes.
And that's where loads of people go to buy their clothes and so on and so forth. But the difference is between what I would be used to in England and what you would be used to from the United States is that they're not charity oriented. It's purely a for-profit arrangement, right?
In my point of view, those Sekáči, second-hand store, textile house, whatever you call them, they are remote charity stores. And I explain why. Because they actually buying their products from Western countries' charities. So they buy those items in bulk in, let's say, London or Switzerland. They transport it here, which is environmentally not too cool. And then they sell their products. And indeed, as you said, they're making full profit out of it.
You don't give stuff here to a Sekáč, right? There's no point. Or do they offer you some money for your secondhand clothes or something?
You will find some place they're taking your clothes for commission. Or you can, you know, the steel textile boxes are getting quite popular. The thrift store, we have to work a lot with all these items that people kindly donate to them. And this is expensive, and it's very hard work. Whereas if you look at the second-hand store, we just buy it in bulk, it's already cleaned and, you know, sorted by sizes. It's an easy setup. So if somebody is in this second-hand business for money only, they probably will definitely choose the model that we just discussed.
Tell me specifically about Prague Thrift Store. You've got two separate stores. You started out with one which is still in existence in Vinohrady. You've recently opened a second one in Prague 7.
Yes. The first stage, we started out with a very small store. It was like a 10 or 12 square meter store. And this is the whole dream started, basically, because my wife so much wanted to open a thrift store. And at the beginning, I wasn't even supporting her. I didn't believe in it. No Czech friends believed in it. They said, this model is just not going to work. And the expat community who encouraged us so much, because, you know, people here for a short time of period, and a thrift store is very useful for them. All these English teachers are coming here for a year or two, and they just need a place that can buy their stuff for really cheap. They don't mind to donate their stuff when they're leaving, because this is what is their custom in their country, using charity stores, using thrift stores.
So would you say it's still that way, that it's mostly for expats as opposed to Czechs, like people who come and donate things to you as well as people who come and buy stuff from you?
No, I would say it's a really good mix of these people, and it's getting more popular among the Czech people. I think the Czech people naturally really well responded to this, because Czech people, first of all, like secondhand things. It's bazaars, you know, all these things. It's fantastic. They love it. On the other hand, also the idea of the environmental factor and the economical factor, that people really can get access to still good reusable items, secondhand items on a really low cost, is a big help. And not only that, we also trying to give people more support. For example, every Friday we have the student days and seniors days, when students can get the already cheap clothes on much less expensive, 50% discount they get from it, and 30% from other items. So trying to get access to people with lower income to these goods and even more on lower cost.
And how do you persuade Czech people who aren't familiar with this particular concept to give your store anything? Because they would say, wait a minute, what is this? You know, why should we give you, and how do we trust you? How do we know this money is actually going to go to charity and not into your own pocket?
First of all, we don't persuade anything. This is a service for the community, and the community either uses it or not. I mean, there are so many options to do. They can, as I said, use textile box, which, on the other hand, quite pity, because most of those textile box items, they go to India and they make rug out of it. Or they can give it to another charity. There is a Sue Rider out there, Bethel out there. I think Red Cross has some outlets too. And yes, we quite often run into these questions. What is it? Where is the money going? What are you guys doing from this? And people are quite suspicious. And to be honest, I do appreciate that the people are suspicious. People should be suspicious. People should look at the organization. Quite often we get items that are not sellable, but they're fantastically reusable. Mm-hmm. And we do redistribute these items among different organizations. Just for example, Nadia, which is a homeless center, we do support them with men, clothes and blankets and shoes, whatever they need, especially in the winter time. And then we do have some mother shelters that we are happy to support, whereby women who are coming from an abused family, they have to stay in the mother shelter for a while. And then after, they have to start life in an apartment that usually paid by the state, but they don't have pretty much anything to start life with their one or two kids.
Okay, and tell me about how the thrift stores are organized. Is there like a special sort of a tax system that helps you out, you register as a charity? Because I know, for example, in England, charity stores don't have to pay rent, which is a huge advantage, and they also have like volunteer staff and stuff like that. So how are you able to operate here from that perspective?
Very good point you bring up, because sometimes people they want to know, is it a profitable business or what is it indeed? And we did not start this as a business. We started this as my wife's hobby, right? And then when our company wanted to transfer me to Bahrain, and we find that Barbara was pregnant with our second son, she asked me to help her with the thrift store, which I did it as a parental obligation, and I love my wife and I wanted to fulfill a dream. So basically, we started this as a hobby. We didn't know where this was going to go. So right now, we're not running under the classic form of as a charity. So we run under the regular Podnikatel format right now. Uh-huh. But we do have plan to fix it and set it right, because, you know, sometimes it's not enough if you do right things. You have to do it in the right ways.
Tell us quickly a list of some of the charities you support. And you also have an annual gala fashion show to help a women's shelter.
Annually, we do have fashion show in cooperation with IVAP, International Women Association of Prague. By the way, I really strongly recommend any expat ladies to look it up, IVAP, and join them. So we have this annual fashion show, which is a pure fundraising event, and also a sort of displaying how well you can actually make a fashion show from secondhand clothes. So this will happen this year as well, so please stay tuned for that. And also what I was really would like to say about the charities we support. I already mentioned some of them, Nagyaya Homeless Center. But what I really now starting to do, and I really want people go to thriftshop.cz and you look it up there, Your Charity. It's a new project whereby we're inviting the community, the first step, nominate charities that need support. Second step, we are going to organize a vote. So people will vote what is the charity should be really supported. And then the third step is once in a month, one day in one of the location, there will be a day when this certain charity who won by the community's help will have the store for one day, will have all the revenue of that day, will be able to represent themselves in a store, meet with their people, talking about volunteering. Volunteering is a big problem in Prague. It's very difficult to find volunteering options, so we'll meet there. And this will go on a monthly basis. So I really want people to start nominating their charities which they want to be supported, because we are a community service, a part of the community, and we want the community to get involved more and help us.
Okay, Tomáš Sendé, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Tomáš Sendé talking there to Dominic Yoon. And that edition of One on One brings us to the end of our English language broadcast. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franíková. Thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.